isn't it marvelous that we again and again can look into God's Word, this wonderful, wonderful book that God has given us. Now, we've been going through Jeremiah, and we're down to Jeremiah chapter 17. And in Jeremiah 17, suddenly there's been a change in the atmosphere, a change in the subject, because we got down to Jeremiah 17, verse 21. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. And this particular command is a very, very intriguing and important and significant command, because look at verse 27. But if ye will not hearken to me to hallow the Sabbath and a day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Now, in order to develop some background for this, we should spend a little time and look at how God treats the Sabbath days. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the New Testament first and try to discover something more about the Sabbath day. In Matthew 12, we read in verse 1, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Right offhand, we say that isn't even a very good sentence. It should have said maybe, and at that time Jesus went through the Sabbath, on the Sabbath through the corn, and each day they plucked corn, or something of that nature. But it's plural. And then when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they went, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. In actuality, when David asked for some of that showbread, there's no law that God had stipulated anywhere that a common person could not eat that showbread, and certainly not someone who was anointed king, and the subjects that came there. That's the first principle. Second principle is that this showbread was baked by the priests. Now, that already was a violation of the Sabbath day, to bake showbread. And in fact, Jesus makes reference to that, and we'll develop that a little further in a moment, makes reference to that in verse 5, or have ye not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now, what was the law of the Sabbath? Remember, the man who picked up a few sticks was put to death. That's how rigorous the law was. Yet here, remember we read in Leviticus 24 that each Sabbath day they were to replace the showbread. Well, that meant they had to bake it on the Sabbath day, on the Sabbath day. So there was already something going on here that by God's other commands that indicated that we have to look at these laws very, very carefully and not read more into them than there is. It is true that the people could not do any work of any kind on the Sabbath day, but the priests they had to bake the showbread on the Sabbath. Every Sabbath they had to replace the showbread. Now, more than that, they baked the cakes. Now, what are they a picture of when they made the cakes? They're a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life, isn't he? He is the one who has provided the bread by which we get our spiritual nourishment. And so here comes David with his servants, and they are hungry. A picture of us being spiritually hungry. And so is it proper for us to be spiritually fed by what Christ has done the work for? You see the whole Sabbath picture again? The work was done by the priests. The work was done by the priests as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was done on the Sabbath day because that seventh day Sabbath represented the fact that Christ did all the work and we do none of the work. And David is there with his servants representing any of us who become believers that we feed on the bread that Christ has done all the work to produce, which was namely himself. Now do you see how God is through this account of Matthew 12, he is expanding the meaning of the seventh day Sabbath so that we, while it looked like David was profaning the Sabbath, and so far as the Jews saw it, it was unlawful what he was doing. But Christ, who is insisting a little later that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and in Mark chapter 2 he says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, God is indicating that this whole thing has to be understood very carefully and to get the spiritual meaning of it. Otherwise, it just becomes a nothing. It has no point. At all. And so he's showing here that the seventh day Sabbath was violated by the priest, but it looked like David was violating it because he was not a priest, but it was a beautiful picture of the fact that Christ, represented by the priest, baked the showbread on the Sabbath day, on the day when the common people could not do any work, and made it available so that we can eat of that on the Sabbath day. Now, do you see how it all ties together? Now, the same thing is true when we get to the next phrase in Matthew chapter 12, verse 5. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Well, now let's go to Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. And there we read in verse 3, and this is a command that God gave. He says, Now thou shalt say unto them, This is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot day by day for a continual burnt offering. What did that mean? A continual burnt offering. That every single day two lambs had to be offered. That would include the Sabbath. Now, to offer a lamb required work on the part of the priest. The lamb had to be slaughtered and so on and so on and so on. And the fire had to be made. Talk about picking up a few sticks. Man, they had to lay the wood on the altar and arrange it all so it could be offered. Then look at verse 9. And on the Sabbath day, no question at all, and on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot and 2/10 deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, besides the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. My, my, God is really driving the point home that you priests have got to work on the Sabbath. And so while God is using the language that the Pharisees understood back in Matthew 12, that the priests profaned the Sabbath, in actuality, they did not profane the Sabbath because God made the rules. God made the rules. On the one hand, he made the rule, there's not to be any work of any kind, and if you even pick up a few sticks, you're going to be killed. And he gives that illustration in Numbers 15, you remember. And yet on the other hand, he says, but there's a codicil. There's a little bit of an exception here. Now, keep this in mind. You priests, you have to work on the Sabbath day because you have to offer these lambs on the Sabbath day. They have to be offered, and that requires work. And again, can you see the message of the gospel in that? Who do the priests represent? Who do the lambs represent? It is the Lord Jesus Christ doing all the work to save us. Of course, the priests worked on the Sabbath day, not to build a house or something, but to offer sacrifices and to make showbread. Because those were pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that Christ has done. And so that seventh-day Sabbath, which was totally ceremonial in character, while on the one hand, to the normal populace, was a picture of the fact, don't do any work of any kind. Don't you do any work of any kind. Yet, on the other hand, It was a picture of the fact that the priests did the work. They made showbread on Sunday. On the seventh day Sabbath. They offered lambs on the seventh day Sabbath. Christ, they represented Christ who did the work to save us. And so it enriches and embellishes and makes it far more wonderful that as we look at this ceremonial law of the seventh day Sabbath. Now, however, it's a little more complicated than that, because now let's go to Luke 6. Now we're going to go to Luke 6. We might as well bite the bullet and look at whatever God has given us here. And there we find something very interesting. Verse 1, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbaths? And then Jesus used the illustration of David and the priests. Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as this, what David did? When hungry, hungered, and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. So again, we wonder, well, now what's happening? What is this second Sabbath after the first? And until we understand that God shifted the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day, this makes no sense. Now, what is happening in the Gospels is that Christ, and we're not going to get into this in detail because we could spend the next 2 years just going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe in the next 6 years we could spend there without any trouble at all. But we want to stay with Jeremiah somehow. But we have to at least talk about the Sabbath. And so we're going to talk about these verses for a little bit. The fact is that God made a shift in the Sabbaths. There was the seventh day Sabbath that we are learning represented or was a picture of the fact that Christ has done all the work. He, like the priests, did the work on the Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath, and we are not to do any work. But now God is emphasizing, Christ is emphasizing, that the that the disciples, together with the Lord Jesus, are walking through the cornfields, and they not only are plucking the ears of corn to eat. Now, that was not wrong to do, but it wasn't ordinarily. But if you're going to do that, you don't work on the Sabbath day. You do that, you have 6 other days to do that. You don't have to do that on the Sabbath day. But he rubs it in. He says, not only did they pick the ears of corn, but they rubbed the ears of corn. Rubbed the ears of corn. In other words, it's a very neat way in which God was saying they were working. They were working. Because to rub the ears of corn is a polite way of saying they were harvesting for their own needs. They were harvesting corn. Oh, sure, if you put a great big machine in there and it harvests the corn in great bulk so that it comes out in 100-pound sacks, that's a big harvest. But if you are just harvesting enough to eat for yourselves, it's still harvesting. That hasn't changed. And they are rubbing the ears of the corn. Now, again, immediately, the warning signals go up. My, I can understand that the Pharisees were just absolutely white with anger. This son of Judah would dare to violate the seventh day Sabbath by going through the fields and rubbing the ears of corn. Why, they had 6 days to do that. Why do they do this on the Sabbath? And yet Christ deliberately is doing this. Now, incidentally, this parallels what we read in Matthew 12. In Matthew 12, it was speaking about Sabbaths, plural. In other words, this did not only happen once, but this was happening again and again. But here God introduces another statement that unless we understand God's whole program, it doesn't make sense. It says, it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first. The second Sabbath after the first. Why the second Sabbath? Because there is a second Sabbath. What is that second Sabbath? Go back to Matthew chapter 28. We'll look at that a little more intently later on, maybe. But in Matthew chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbaths, here again, the translator blew it. Why? I don't understand. It is so obvious that this is a plural word. And why did they blow it? In such a prestigious book as the King James, which is one of the finest translations of the Bible, and yet when they translated it, they translated it as a singular word when it's a plural word. In the end of the Sabbath. In other words, that Sunday morning when Christ, we read here in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first of the Sabbath, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher, and they're going to anoint the body of Jesus. They had rested on the seventh day Sabbath. That Sunday morning, early in the morning, there they are with their their spices and so on. And God is saying it's the end of the Sabbath. As it began to dawn toward the first of the, not of the week. Again, why the translators put week? They somehow God has restricted the understanding of this revelation. God has his own timetable for revealing this. I can remember all my life, and I've always been interested in the Sabbath, always, because that was a holy day, and that was the day we worshiped, and that was the day that was set apart altogether. And all my life I wondered, why, what is the real difference between the seventh day Sabbath and the first day Sabbath? I never could learn. I never knew. And only in recent years did I learn that the seventh day Sabbath was a ceremonial law, And then God introduced the first day, not as a Sabbath that is a ceremonial law, but that it is part of God's moral law. We'll talk about that a little later. But here we see it here. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first of the Sabbath, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Okay, now what does that mean? There's a first Sabbath and a second Sabbath. There was a first Sabbath that ran all the way from creation when Christ rested the seventh day of creation. It ran all the way to Sunday morning, early Sunday morning in A.D. 33, the last day of the observance of that Sabbath was by Christ as he rested in the tomb. His body was there in the tomb on that last Sabbath of that first era of Sabbaths. And that Sunday morning, a new era of Sabbaths began to dawn. As it says here, toward the first of the Sabbaths, a new era of Sabbaths. In other words, there's a first Sabbath and a second Sabbath. That is what we're learning here. Okay, now when we go back to Luke chapter 6, it came to pass on the second Sabbath. Tie that in with Matthew 28 verse 1. And we realize that what God is teaching here now is not how to observe the seventh day Sabbath, but the first day Sabbath. This is the second Sabbath. Now, he's doing this on the seventh day Sabbath because he is teaching. He is teaching, and he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And he has come as the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And so the ceremonial laws are coming to an end. They are being finished. They're going to be completely finished in him. And so he is plucking ears of corn and rubbing them, and they are eating. And what does that tell you about the second day, the second kind of Sabbath? We are to be working. Rubbing ears of corn is work. It's work. Now, don't tell me it isn't. It is work. And it's creating effort on your part. That's work. It's just as much work as picking up sticks. And you're working for what purpose? In order that you might be fed the corn. Well, okay. What does that corn represent? The Word of God. The Word of God. So on the second Sabbath, we work, that is, we study the Bible. We listen to the Word of God. We pray for wisdom. It is all the work, the spiritual work that we do in order that we might be fed the spiritual corn, the spiritual bread. And this is the point that Christ is making here. He is using that second Sabbath. We have to remember that Christ wrote this. God wrote this language. And so while it seems a little bit odd that he would do it quite this way, but that's the way God has done it. That's what we're reading here, that we are to feed on the Word of God. Now, in actuality, spiritually, that was not a violation of the seventh day Sabbath either, because on the seventh day Sabbath, they were to feed on the Word of God. There was no, just like when they ate the showbread. But it's when he talked about rubbing the ears of corn, that's where it really got sticky, because that has to do with harvesting. But it's because it is the second Sabbath. Then notice, we read in verse 6. Now remember, there was a, let's look at verse 6. It came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. And again, you know, they are convinced that to heal somebody on the Sabbath, that's work that you're doing. And yet even in the seventh day Sabbath, the fact is that God had also given rules that we're to love God above all and our neighbor as ourself. And if someone needed healing, that was to be done on the seventh day Sabbath. That was not the kind of work that they were to keep from. But here, God again, okay, we've run out of time. Until our next study, may the Lord richly bless you.